right. If you take your Bibles, please, this morning, and turn to Matthew chapter 10 as we continue our series of studies in the Gospel of Matthew. And while you're turning to Matthew chapter 10, let's go ahead and pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray that this morning as we open up the scriptures, that you would speak to our hearts through the work of your Holy Spirit. I pray, Father, that as we are challenged by the scriptures, that we would accept the challenge that is placed in front of us and take seriously our responsibilities as your children. And so, Father, guide us and direct us now in this preaching time. Help us all to have open minds, open eyes, open ears, and an open heart to your truth. And then help us to take and make practical application of your truth to our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, this is a very interesting chapter in the Gospel of Matthew, because here we are given insight into the qualifications of an apostle. Jesus just lays it out straight for them and tells them exactly what they have to look forward to, what is going to happen down the line as they serve him. Now, if you've been with us in our studies in the Gospel of Matthew, you know that we've seen the individual stories of the calling of five of the apostles: Peter and his brother Andrew, James and his brother John, and then Matthew. And in this gospel, they are the only ones whose particular stories are told. And when it comes to the other seven apostles, all we know is that by the time we get to chapter 10, they have all been called. And in this chapter, Jesus gives them their commission. And that commission begins in verse 5. So let's start there this morning. It says, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now let me stop there for just a second. And I'm stopping here because I've actually had someone point these verses out to me and say that they show a contradiction in the Bible. Because here, Jesus tells them to go only to Israel and nobody else. But in the end of this very same book, in chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, it says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." So which is it? Israel only or all nations? Sounds like Jesus contradicted himself. But what the people who point out that so-called contradiction don't realize and don't take into account is that some major things happen between Matthew 10 and Matthew 28. Right? You have Israel's rejection of their Messiah. You have Jesus' death on the cross for the sins of the world. And you have his resurrection back to life 3 days later after his crucifixion. Those are some pretty major events. And the point is, there is no contradiction here. Because what you have in Matthew 10 is simply their pre-Calvary commission. And then in Matthew 28, you have their post-Calvary commission. Because yes, he did go first to Israel. But once Israel rejected him, then he opened wide the door for the Gentiles as well. So Matthew 10 is his pre-Calvary, is their pre-Calvary commission. Matthew 28 is their post-Calvary commission. But yes, here he tells them to first go to the house of Israel. Now, let's continue reading, and we're going to do something a little bit different than we normally do. We're going to actually read the entire chapter. This will be the first time that we have ever read an entire sermon by Jesus. Now, there was one previous to this in the book of Matthew, and that's the Sermon on the Mount, but it covered chapters 5, 6, and 7. It was too much to read all at one time on a Sunday morning service, so we just kind of pointed out the major points of his sermon. But this one, we're going to read this entire sermon here. And so we've read verses 5 and 6. Let's pick up at verse 7. It says, "And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now, of course, when he says, go forth and preach, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, there's a lot that's involved in that message, right? It sounds like a very simple point, but there's a lot more involved in preaching that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What they're going forth and saying is, look, the Messiah has come, and he is about to establish his kingdom. Repent, believe, get ready. That's all involved in preaching that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then notice verse 8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely ye have received, freely give. Now, of course, that is their apostolic calling, right? This is not our calling today, right? These were signs given to the apostles to back up their message to Israel. Remember, we've said several times in our studies about how Israel, all through biblical history, sought signs and wonders to figure out if God was really involved in what was taking place. And so they were given these signs and wonders to back up their message. Because what they had was a brand new message that had not yet been written down. And so God gave them these signs and wonders to back it up because that message needed proof of its authenticity. But today is different, right? We have a completed Bible that we can hold in our hand and read and preach. And this Bible is the very Word of God, and it is living, and it is powerful. And we have the indwelling Holy Spirit to convict people's hearts as we share with them the Word of God. So we don't need the apostolic signs and wonders anymore. There are no more apostles, right? That was just for the early age of the church. But now every Christian, every believer in Christ is to go forth and share the good news of the gospel with people. And they're to go forth and do it in the power of that indwelling Holy Spirit. Now, look at verses 9 and 10 here. Provide neither gold, nor silver, nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your money, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. So there, basically what he says is, don't worry, as you go forth, I will provide for your needs. Now, let's read the rest of the sermon, and then we'll go back and look at some things that we see here. So we're beginning in verse 11. And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when ye come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Now listen to all of this. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute in this city, flee ye to another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, which of course is another name for the devil, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in the light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. How's that for a commission? Basically, that commission consisted of seven things. Number one, you will be like sheep in the midst of wolves. Number two, they will drag you off to jail, bring you to court, and scourge you. A scourging, if you're not familiar with it, was 39 stripes with a cat o' nine tail. A cat o' nine tail was a whip that had a handle on it, a sturdy handle, and nine strips of leather. And in those strips of leather were tied pieces of bone, metal, rock, and glass. And they would whip you with that and tear the flesh off your body. He said, you've got that coming. He said, your family will turn against you. Number four, you'll be hated of all men. Number five, they will persecute you everywhere you go. Number six, they will say you're of the devil. And number seven, they will eventually kill you. How's that for a commission? And yet along with that, he says this to them. You are special to me. I'll provide for your needs. You put me first. Go forth and preach, and I'll tell you what to say. Endure to the end, that is, don't quit, don't stop. And when you die, I will reward you for your efforts. And you know what's amazing after hearing that commission? None of them turned tail and ran. They all accepted it, except for the one, of course, who turned out to be a traitor. But they all the rest, committed themselves to it. They took this calling seriously. And they accepted the call, and they went forth to preach. And it happened just like Jesus said that it would. They were jailed. They were scourged. They were stoned. They were beaten. They were mocked. And they were eventually killed simply for being faithful to the cause, faithful to preaching the gospel. Every one of them died because they were faithful to that message. They went forth and they preached the gospel courageously, boldly, and fearlessly. Because they were convinced it was true. They believed it was the greatest message ever. They believed it was the greatest piece of news ever to fall on human ears. And it is. But that commitment cost them everything. Everything. Now go back to the first verses of the chapter. Notice verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. That's part of, again, of their apostolic calling. But here's the list. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter. Now, if you're not familiar with it, Peter was crucified upside down on a cross during Nero's persecution of Christians. He was crucified for preaching the gospel. And then next is Andrew, his brother. Andrew was crucified on what is now referred to as a St. Andrew's cross. It was a big X is what it was. But Andrew was not nailed to that cross. Andrew was stripped naked and tied to that cross and left to the elements. And it took days and days for Andrew to die. But history says that as he was dying, he continued to preach the gospel. And then there is James, the son of Zebedee. James was beheaded by King Herod in Jerusalem for preaching the gospel. And then there's John, his brother. John died in exile on the Isle of Patmos after enduring years of persecution. And the Romans banished him there to shut him up to keep that message of his about Jesus from spreading. But it really didn't work, because it was on that island of Patmos that God gave him the great book of Revelation that we find in our Bible. But he died in exile, out there alone on the Isle of Patmos. And then there's Philip. Philip died in Hierapolis, Turkey, by hanging for preaching the gospel. And then there is Bartholomew, who in another place in the Bible is referred to as Nathanael. He went to the area called Armenia, and Andrew was flayed to death. That is, he was literally skinned alive for preaching the gospel. And then there is Thomas. Thomas went to India to preach the gospel and was killed by a spear because of his preaching of the gospel. Then there's Matthew. Matthew went to Ethiopia and there was killed for preaching the gospel. And then there's James, the son of Alphaeus. James went to Egypt to preach the gospel and was literally sawn in pieces for preaching the gospel. And then there was Labius, whose surname was Thaddeus. He went to Persia, where he was killed by a firing squad of arrows for preaching the gospel. And then next is Simon the Canaanite. Simon the Canaanite ministered with Thaddeus in Persia, and he was crucified for preaching the gospel. And then, of course, we all know what happened to Judas Iscariot, the traitor. But we also need to remember that the man who took his place, the Apostle Paul, was also martyred for the faith. He was beheaded by Caesar in Rome for the preaching of the gospel. These guys paid the ultimate price so the good news of Christ could be spread around the world. And now it's our job. And we really have no excuse for not sharing the good news of Christ with others, because we have it easy. Anybody have any stories about people in our country right now being killed for preaching the gospel? See, we are without excuse. We tend to be so weak and wimpy in our Christianity. Sometimes our attitude is, well, I can't tell somebody about Jesus because they might not like me. Or I can't tell them about Jesus because they might laugh at me or make fun of me. Or I can't tell them about Jesus, they'll think I'm crazy. I can't tell them about Jesus, because they'll just get angry with me. Well, How do you think our sissy little excuses are going to hold up when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, especially when we get compared to those who all through church history, and even in many countries in our world now, have been tortured, imprisoned, stoned, beaten, beheaded, just for boldly proclaiming the message of Christ? And how will our little weak excuses hold up at your judgment seat, especially when compared to what Jesus has done for us, so that we could have forgiveness, so we could have eternal life, so we could have a home in heaven? You know, he didn't have to do any of that. He could have said, no way, they're not worth it. They're nothing but a bunch of wicked, filthy, ungodly sinners, and they deserve hell. They deserve what they're going to get. He could have said that and been absolutely right. But he didn't do that. Instead, he left all the glories of heaven and came down to this wicked earth, where he was rejected by his own people and eventually taken into judgment, mocked, ridiculed, beaten, scourged. The Bible teaches us his face was so marred it didn't even look like a man anymore. He had the crown of thorns beat down into his head. His beard was ripped from his face. He was nailed to a cross. Had a spear stabbed into his side. And after he died, he spent 3 days roasting in the flames of hell, taking our full punishment upon himself, just so we wouldn't have to. And he did it all just because he loved us. That was his whole motivation. Just because he loved us. Now the question is, what will your response and my response be to his calling in our lives to go into all the world and preach the gospel? What will our response be to his calling to go forward and tell others about him? Will we take that calling seriously? Because if we don't, who will? If we don't tell others about Jesus, who will? Who will? Can I be very honest with you this morning? And you know this as well as I do. America is going to hell in a handbasket. And the only answer is the gospel. The only answer for the ills of America is the life-changing gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing else will do. It is the need and the hope of America. So my challenge this morning is, let's do our part. Let's be faithful. Let's take our commission seriously. Let's never be ashamed or afraid to open up our mouths and put a word in for Jesus. After all Jesus has done for us, and after all the apostles did so that the message would eventually get to us, let's not drop the ball. Let's all go forth from this place and tell the world about the Savior who loved us and gave himself for us. It is the least we can do in response to his great love. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God this morning, and thank you for the challenge to our hearts. And Lord, help us to take up the cause. Help us to be faithful in sharing with others the good news of the Savior. Help us not to be silent. Help us to be vocal. Help us not to be fearful. Help us to be courageous. And help us to go forth in the power of your Holy Ghost and tell others that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Lord, help us to be faithful to that. And Lord, if there's somebody in this room or somebody watching by way of the internet that does not know the Savior in a personal way, I pray that today they would receive Christ into their heart to wash their sins away and to give them everlasting life and a home in heaven. Lord, don't let anybody leave here. Don't let anybody turn off their phone or computer or tablet or whatever they're listening on. Lord, don't let them turn away until they've opened their heart and settled this matter of where they will spend eternity. Lord, help them to put their faith and their trust in Christ and Christ alone this morning for the salvation of their soul. Now, Lord, as we prepare to go into the time of communion and the Lord's Supper, Lord, help us to take some time now to consider what's been said, especially the part concerning what you have done for us. Lord, as we partake together, help us, Lord, to appreciate more what it is you did on Calvary's cross on our behalf. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.